Let's Talk About is recorded and produced in Treaty 1 territories, on the original lands of the Anishinaabe, Cree, Oji-Cree, Dakota, and Dene peoples, and on the homeland of the Métis Nation. Thank you very much for listening. Why, hello there. I am recording this episode fairly late. It is currently 5:45 Monday night, and this episode goes live Tuesday, 11 to 11:30. So I apologize profusely to Mike and Jared for this being so late. Also, I hope you're feeling better, Jared, with your recent predicament. So as this episode is coming together fairly late, I've had a lot of time to think about it. Obviously there was a few major newsworthy events last week, and I really don't want to shed any more light on them than needs to be. American democracy was attacked. The safety of people discharging their duties were threatened. And for better or for worse, democracy must be maintained. We must respect democracy and the good and the bad that comes with that. Just because you didn't agree with it doesn't mean that democracy is ultimately should be discharged with. Anyway, we're not going to talk about that at all, actually, because tonight, in about 15 minutes, I'm going to get the draft order for my fantasy hockey league, because hockey's coming back, y'all, again. The NHL is kicking off its 2021 season in a few days, on Wednesday. First games will be played, the puck will be dropped without the Dallas Stars, who saw a major swath of positive COVID-19 tests. They're season opener has been pushed back. Also, the season opener of the Florida Panthers, because they were supposed to play Dallas. But in other words, it's full steam ahead. If you want to know my thoughts about sports during COVID-19, you can look all the way back to the spring when I talk about how I thought it was a dumb idea, and then they proved me wrong. So I said it was a dumb idea on this podcast and a different one. They proved me wrong twice. So good on you, NHL. But I don't want to talk about fantasy hockey either. Well, I might talk about fantasy hockey later. If you hear me mumbling under my breath, it's probably because I didn't get the first overall pick and can't take Connor McDavid, and didn't get the second overall pick, so I can't take Leon Draisaitl. But other than that, I wanted to talk about something that goes beyond hockey. It really, it's something that you see literally all the time whenever you are listening to some people talk on Twitter or on politics shows or in movies or even on sports podcasts. And this one comes from was actually brought up by Adam Wild of the Steve Dangle podcast. They were talking about advertisements for helmets. So putting advertisements on NHL helmets as a way to raise extra money for the upcoming season. Because there will be no fans in the buildings or very few fans. Revenues will be impacted across the NHL. So the NHL decided to implement something that the NBA has been doing for a while now, which is micro ads. In the NBA, each team has an ad kind of over where their heart is supposed to be, or where their heart is, sorry. Think of the LA Lakers. They have the little wish, and it's done tastefully. These advertisements are right there on the chest and in full view, but you don't really notice them. You also don't really notice the Reebok, or back in the day, the Adidas now, back in the day, the Reebok, or the Nike, or the any CCM logos that used to be on the jerseys, and still are. So that just discounts that argument. But people were upset, clearly. Hockey is a very conservative game, a very traditional game, whereas it's very similar to baseball. Whereas some a league like the NBA will undergo not fairly significant changes, well, fairly significant, but they're not going to go out and do major, major changes like adding two more players to the court or anything. But they will make changes that allow them greater flexibility. And they realize that, like a lot of American media has, that advertising is the way to go to raise extra revenue. Actually, it may shock you that a lot of NHL teams get by not because of selling out crowds. They really don't. They get by because of advertising, because corporations pay for suites that they don't use. They pay for rinkside advertisements, advertisements on the ice, baked in, painted underneath the ice. For partnerships. In the American Hockey League, the jerseys have branding on them. I know here in Winnipeg, the Manitoba Moose have a Boston Pizza logo on their jerseys, but you don't really hear people complaining about it because it's the AHL. You don't hear people complaining about the Wish logo on the LA Lakers jersey, one of the most historic jerseys in the world, in the history of sport. But suddenly throwing a Tim Hortons logo or an Air Canada logo on a helmet is a bad idea. Realistically, and I think Steve Dangle of that same on that same podcast said it best, if you don't want advertising in sports, well, I guess we're going to have to rename every single arena. We're going to have to make the boards blank. We're going to have to remove ads from the ice. We're going to have to remove ads from inside the rink. We're going to have to remove ads from the broadcast. They're not going to be able to be partnered anymore. We're going to have to remove broadcast partnerships, because those are massive advertisements. And then the league will go back to what it was, where players got paid $100 a season if they were lucky. It just doesn't work like that anymore. So the argument that's been coming up, and this is the focus of the episode, I've been rambling for 8 minutes now, is the slippery slope fallacy. Now, this is a very famous one. You will literally hear people say, it's a slippery slope, it's a slippery slope. If you listen to Joe Rogan for 5 minutes, he's going to say, it's a slippery slope. But what is the slippery slope argument, and why is it a logical fallacy? Well, first we got to define what a slippery slope is. If you want to go to an example, I'll go back to the Steve Dangle podcast example. Adam brought up the fact that they were putting helmet advertisements on for this upcoming NHL season. There's no indication it's going to go anywhere beyond this season. It's just to recoup some lost revenue. And he said people were complaining because they said, oh, it's a slippery slope, but then it's going to lead to, I want to preface this by saying Adam supported the advertisements on the helmets. I totally accept that there's going to be advertisements on the helmets, and I actually support that. I think jersey ads are long overdue in the NHL. But people call it a slippery slope. They say, oh, well, like, you put the ads on the helmets, then that's going to add, they're going to put ads on the jerseys and ads on the jock straps, and you're going to be, you know, painted up like a billboard, like all those European leagues. I've actually got an old Edinburgh Capitals jersey from the EIHL, the English Ice Hockey League, or the Elite Ice Hockey League in England, from their last season, because the team doesn't exist anymore, because they couldn't survive, because they didn't make enough money from gate revenue for the team to stay open. And yeah, that jersey looks like a billboard, but I think it looks great. I think it looks weird and funny. Maybe that's because I watch a lot of soccer, and I'm used to the fact that Manchester United's crest is... I actually have a copy of the crest, a patch, sitting above my desk, and it's about the size of my palm. And that sits on kind of the chest over where the Wish logo in the Lakers jersey is. And the massive logo on the chest of every Manchester United player is the Chevrolet logo. I'm used to that. I don't find that weird anymore. I didn't find it weird when I was a kid. I just thought, oh, well, Chevrolet paid for their logo to go there. But it's a slippery slope, people say. You're gonna wind up like a billboard. It's gonna look like the Spengler Cup, where the refs are dressed like cows to advertise a milk brand, and every team, even the beautiful and classic, untouchable, religious logo or jersey of Team Canada will be desecrated by cell phone companies and beer companies. Oh wait, those already exist. Don't they? Those already exist in leagues. Oh, wait. The gloves that I have, they have CCM written on them. So does my stick. Oh, my skates have a massive Bauer logo on them. Hmm. Odd. Oh, my hockey pants, those also have a CCM logo on them. I'm a CCM player, if you couldn't tell. Oh, my helmet also is a Bauer helmet. It's got a big Bauer logo on the front. Weird. Well, it's going to end up with ads on jerseys. My beer league team is going to have ads on our jerseys one day. I mean, I do have friends that own companies, so we could probably get them to sponsor our team, more or less. Shout out Jarek and Kilter Brewing. So, the slippery slope argument, getting back on track, is a logical critical thinking, political rhetoric, and case law argument. And is often viewed as a logical fallacy, in which a party asserts that a relatively small first step leads to a chain of related events culminating in some significant, usually negative, effect. So the core of the argument is this kind of this logical equivalency. So A equals A leads to B, then B leads to C, then C leads to D, then D leads to E, on and on and on until Z. You see it, they'll put advertisements on the helmet, and then they'll put advertisements on the gloves, and they'll put advertisements on your pants, and then they'll put advertisements on your jersey, and they won't stop there. Once they've got the one on there, then that says, oh, well, we can do two because we have one, so why not have two? And it's going to keep going on and on and on and on until some arbitrary cutoff point where it's this horrible... horrible end point. So the illogical part of it is that there is no equivalency in it generally from each argument to the next, from each statement or assertion to the next. There is an escalation. And built into this argument is the assumption that personal choices and decision-making power is ultimately within those who control that argument. So what is required for a slippery slope argument, I'm going to stick with this one. So allowing them to put helmet, advertisements on your helmet is going to lead to every player's, quote, being sponsored by every team being sponsored by a brand. It'll be the Bell MTS Winnipeg Jets, or the Scotiabank Toronto Maple Leafs, or the Toronto Dominion Bank Boston Bruins. Those are the advertisers for their rinks, by the way. The argument is that this will lead to this eventually. and it assumes that there is an uninterrupted chain of decisions. One argument here, it's not a single class of arguments whose members all... So, Lode, who is a philosopher, claimed that SSAs are not a single class of arguments whose members all share the same form. Nevertheless, goes on to suggest the following common features. A, the series of intervening and gradual steps. The idea that the slope lacks a non-arbitrary stopping place, that's B. And C, the idea that the practice under consideration is in itself unobjectionable. Unobjectionable meaning that it cannot be stopped. The slope lacks a non-arbitrary stopping place that removes, that there is a certain point where the logical lane, the train of changes, doesn't come up against a point where one decision cannot logically lead to another, where it cannot objectively lead to another. So say, this very example. The NHL doesn't own the rights to team names. The teams do. So if you're to say that the NHL allowing the advertisements on jerseys, which requires team sign-off, that there is a point where, if the NHL allows, or if the teams allow this to happen and advertisements to be placed on their jerseys, that gives gives the NHL free rein to continue. It's kind of like, I actually had this conversation with somebody recently that, I had to explain to them how when you go to pay your license in Manitoba, you go to MPI, that's when you get notified of the claim adjustment. So when you have car insurance tied to your license, because you need to have a license and a license number and driving history for them to make the claim adjustment so they can adjust your premiums and the insurance and all of that. And you don't go in, that point is when you go to pay your license, that's when you check off and you sign off. Because there are legal requirements, there are legal standings, there are bylaws, or there's laws and regulations in place that MPI or your insurance company, if your insurance company has these regulations in place, cannot arbitrarily change the payments without your prior authorization. So every single time they want to make a change, they have to come to you and say that they're going to make the change. The slippery slope argument basically assumes that by giving the power and agreeing to a single event, or allowing a single event to happen, a single argument to be created, that there is not a singular point where that chain can be interrupted. You're basically signing over complete control. That there is an uninterrupted chain of power and decision making. That's the non-arbitrary stopping place, a place where legally the chain cannot continue. In the example I've been using, every single time the NHL wants to add advertisements or change the jerseys, there are a bunch of conditions that have to be met. The owners have to sign off on it. The league has to sign off on it. The teams have to sign off it. The players have to sign off on it. Their union has to be represented in this argument because it's a revenue-based decision. It's part of the collective bargaining agreement in the NHL that when there are revenue matters, because the players, as owners of part of the revenue, they need to be brought in on these discussions. And that's why these discussions have to happen. Everyone has to sign off and agree. If one of those groups, the league, the teams, the players, the owners, even the equipment manufacturers, I don't think Bauer is going to really love the fact that if the NHL is going to slap a Tim Hortons logo over top of theirs, or CCM is going to be necessarily happy that the NHL is going to put a Chevrolet logo over there on their pants. They need to be brought in on this discussion too. So the argument has to satisfy the fact that on every single step along this logical chain, all major stakeholders have no say and cannot change anything. One of the tenets or one of the major stoppers to this logical fallacy is the idea of personal choice, and the idea, and it follows along really with a lot of the views that people have on positions of power, where there's always an ulterior motive, they're always trying to get somewhere, or that everything will always lead to the most negative outcome eventually, where it really doesn't hold because you are considering human choice and human beings and decisions that are happening between different people, different groups that are not necessarily connected with one another over time. You know, you can make the argument that by, you know, allowing it, one of the major political arguments was with legalizing gay marriage, unfortunately, was that, you know, where does it stop? That was actually an argument. Like, by allowing these people to get married, then so many other groups are going to argue, are going to have, going to be able to argue successfully that they should get married, and then eventually we're going to have child brides again. Things like that. And that assumes the fact that all the decision-making powers agree at each step of change, and that they are all related to one another. They all work together. It's either the same power-changing structure that undergirds the entire endeavor, or every single point, every single logical connection, logical transfer A to B to C to D to E to F, and on and on and on, all of those power brokers and all of those decision makers are working towards a similar goal, that we are giving this immeasurable power. So what it's essentially arguing is that this slope will continue unabated without any personal choice coming into it. So another set of components, this one's by Corner et al. A, there is an initial proposal. One, an initial proposal. Two, an undesirable outcome. Three, the belief that allowing A will lead to a reevaluation of B in the future, or of C in the future, and the rejection for the rejection of A based on this belief. So you have to argue, essentially, when you're making a slippery slope argument, you are beginning with one equivalency, A equals B, and you need to assume in through A to B that at some point in the future, C, D, E, F, G, all of those other decisions need to be evaluated, are going to be evaluated in the future, when simply they may not. There is no guarantee, there is no certainty. In viewing human history, quite often there isn't. A decision gets made, and we live with the consequences of that decision. Rizzo and Whitman, they had three key components to the slippery slope argument. An initial seemingly acceptable argument and decision, a danger case, a later argument and decision that are clearly unacceptable, and a process or mechanism by which accepting the initial argument and making the initial decision raise the likelihood of accepting the later argument and making the later decision. That is a major one, and that is probably the major one, that you have two different concepts. You have as Corner and Whitman, Rizzo and Whitman say, you have an initial argument and a later argument. The initial argument being acceptable, the later argument being a danger case that is clearly unacceptable. You're making the decision, and you're making the assumption that by accepting that initial argument, that at some point that will make the danger case, the patently unacceptable argument palatable and acceptable, which just violates a lot of logic. It makes a grandiose assumption about the speed with which and the point at which behaviors and beliefs change. It makes an argument and makes a statement about human decision-making and human belief that we are so easily swayed that something like, you know, murder can be one of the most heinous crimes imaginable, can be made palatable with some measure, that our own biological and neurological processes, which have evolved over millions of years, can somehow be overridden because of some innocuous, early acceptable change, some minor change that we accept, some minor argument we accept. So no, putting advertisements on a team helmet, an NHL player's helmet, will not lead eventually to team names being bought and paid for by companies. There is no logical argument to that. You are making an assumption that somebody will get there. And really, that's a bad assumption to make, because the NHL are very conservative. They had to be pulled kicking and screaming to the debating table to make this decision. They had to be put in an untenable position where teams would not financially survive if they did not do this. If they did not push forward with this season, if they did not do their revenue, if they did not change the bounds of the CBA for this year, and if they did not take the extra revenue from helmets. They were pushed into an untenable situation where essentially choosing not to do this was death. It was a league, it's a ultra-conservative league, an ultra-traditional league that does not want to change a darn thing until they have to, until they're forced to. So saying that at some point these crotchety old men will allow their team's great name, the Montreal Canadiens, will one day accept that they will allow Molson to buy the name of their team. It'll be the Molson Montreal Canadiens. That the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Boston Bruins, the Detroit Red Wings, the Chicago Blackhawks, maybe that one, any of these original six teams, the New York Rangers, an institution in the city of New York, will allow their 100-plus-year-old team names to be bought by a company. You really don't know hockey decision makers if you believe that. So stop, please. Just stop using the slippery slope argument. It makes it look silly. And that will do it. Thank you very much for listening. This has been Let's Talk About. If you really want to know, I got the draft order. I pick second last. Awesome. Great. That's going to be fun. So I want to thank you very, very much for listening. This was a bit of a rambly episode. It's very late. It's now 6:10. So thank you very much for listening. If you're tuned in live on 101.5 UM FM, thank you very much for tuning in today. We've got some great shows, great music coming up next, so keep that dial on 101.5. And if you're listening on Spotify, thank you very much for your download. It means a lot. Rate, review, share with friends. It really, really helps, and I really love doing this show, so I'm going to keep on doing it. But as always, this has been Let's Talk About. I've been Jason. You have been the wonderful, wonderful audience. Stay safe. Stop using the slippery slope argument. And have yourselves a wonderful, wonderful week.